Book 10, Canto 4, Section 3. Then rang again a deeper cry of death, as if beneath its weight of sterile law, oppressed by its own obstinate, meaningless will, disdainful, weary, and compassionate, it kept no more its old intolerant sound, but seemed like life's in her unnumbered paths, toiling forever and achieving naught. Because of birth and change, her mortal powers by which she lasts around the term posts fixed, turning of a wide circling aimless race, whose course forever speeds and is the same. In its long play with fate and chance and time, assured of the game's vanity lost or won, crushed by its load of ignorance and doubt, which knowledge seems to increase and growth to enlarge, the earth mind sinks and it despairs and looks old, weary, and discouraged on its work. Yet was all nothing then, or vainly achieved? Some great thing has been done, some light, some power delivered from the huge inconscient's grasp. It has emerged from night. It sees its dawns circling forever, though no dawn can stay. This change was in the Godhead's far-flung voice. His form of dread was altered and admitted our transient effort at eternity, yet flung vast doubts of what might else have been on grandiose hints of an impossible day. The great voice, surging, cried to Savitri, "Because thou knowest the wisdom that transcends both veil of forms and the contempt of forms, arise, delivered by the seeing gods. If free thou hadst kept thy mind from life's fierce stress, thou mightst have been like them, omniscient, calm. But the violent and passionate heart forbids. It is the storm bird of an anarch power that would upheave the world and tear from it the indecipherable scroll of fate, death's rule and law, and the unknowable will. Hasteners to action, violators of God, are these great spirits who have too much love, and they who formed like thee, for both art thou, have come into the narrow bounds of life with two large natures overleaping time. Worshippers of force, who know not her recoil, their giant wills compel the troubled years. The wise are tranquil, silent the great hills, rise ceaselessly towards their unreached sky. Seated on their unchanging bays, their heads dreamless in heaven's immutable domain. On their aspiring tops, sublime and still, lifting halfway to heaven, the climbing soul, the mighty mediators stand content to watch the revolutions of the stars. Motionlessly moving with the might of earth, they see the ages pass and are the same. The wise think with the cycles. They hear the tread of far-off things. Patient, unmoved, they keep their dangerous wisdom in their depths restrained, lest man's frail days into the unknown should sink, dragged like a ship by bound Leviathan into the abyss of his stupendous seas. Lo, how all shakes when the gods tread too near. All moves, is in peril, anguished, torn, upheaved. The hurrying eons would stumble on too swift if strength from heaven surprised the imperfect earth and veilless knowledge smote these unfit souls. The deities have screened their dreadful power. God hides his thought, and even he seems to err. Be still and tardy in the slow, wise world. Mighty art thou with the dread goddess filled, to whom thou criedst at dawn in the dim woods. Use not thy strength like the wild titan souls. Touch not the seated lines, the ancient laws. Respect the calm of great established things. But Savitri replied to the huge god. What is the calm thou wantst, O law, O death? Is it not the dull vision tread inert of monstrous energies chained in a stark round, soulless and stone-eyed with mechanic dreams? Vain the soul's hope if changeless law is all. Ever to the new and the unknown press on, the speeding eons justifying God. What were earth's ages if the grey restraint were never broken and glory sprang not forth, bursting their obscure seed while man's slow life leaped hurried into sudden splendid paths by divine words and human gods revealed. Impose not upon sentient minds and hearts the dull fixity that binds inanimate things. Well is the unconscious rule for the animal breeds, content to live beneath the immutable yoke. Man turns to a nobler walk, a master path. I trample on thy law with living feet, for to arise in freedom I was born. If I am mighty, let my force be unveiled, equal companion of the dateless powers, or else let my frustrated soul sink down, unworthy of Godhead in the original sleep. I claim from time my will's eternity, God from his moments. Death replied to her, why should the noble and immortal will stoop to the petty works of transient earth? Freedom forgotten and the eternal's path? Or is this the high use of strength and thought, to struggle with the bonds of death and time, and spend the labor that might earn the gods, and battle and bear agony of wounds to grasp the trivial joys that earth can guard in her small treasure chest of passing things? Child, hast thou trodden the gods beneath thy feet only to win poor shreds of earthly life? For him thou lovest, cancelling the grand release, keeping from early rapture of the heavens. His soul the lenient deities have called. Are thy arms sweeter than the courts of God? She answered, straight I trample on the road, the strong hand hewed for me, which planned our paths. I run where his sweet, dreadful voice commands, and I am driven by the reins of God. Why drew he wide his scheme of mighty worlds, or filled infinity with his passionate breath? Or wherefore did he build my mortal form and sow in me his bright and proud desires, if not to achieve, to flower in me, to love, carving his human image richly shaped in thoughts and largenesses and golden powers? Far heaven can wait our coming in its calm. Easy the heavens were to build for God. Earth was his difficult matter. Earth the glory, give of the problem and the race and strife. There are the ominous masks, the terrible powers. There it is greatness to create the gods. Is not the spirit immortal and absolved, always delivered from the grasp of time? Why came it down into the mortal's space? A charge he gave to his high spirit in man, and wrote a hidden decree on nature's tops. Freedom is this with ever-seated soul, large in life's limits, strong in matter's knots, building great stuff of action from the worlds, to make fine wisdom from coarse, scattered strands, and love and beauty out of war and night, the wager wonderful, the game divine. What liberty has the soul which feels not free, unless stripped bare and cannot kiss the bones? The lover winds around his playmate's limbs, choosing his tyranny, crushed in his embrace. To seize him better with her boundless heart, she accepts the limiting circle of his arms, bows full of bliss beneath his mastering hands, and laughs in his rich constraints, most bound, most free. This is my answer to thy lures, O death,